This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
There's a saying that says we are what we eat. Another one that is often used is garbage in and garbage out. And there's a lot of truth to these sayings because it's no secret the principle of cause and effect does indeed apply. And food is fundamental to our health, so our diets become important choices that cause effects. But there is also a spiritual component to food that God instructs us about, and it serves to illustrate whether or not we will obey His will. Because you see, God has determined what foods are acceptable or not acceptable to eat. Now, in particular, is the pig. God has some reasons for directing us away from eating this meat, and He is clearly specific and assertive about not eating it. But why? Why is pork considered unclean to eat? Well, on today's program, we will attempt to explore just what is behind this instruction about pork and why it concerns Christians.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Tony Bukert.
Well, hello there, friends, and welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us today as we do our best to bring some biblical relevance to some contemporary topics that you see going on around you and in your world today. Now, I'm sure you would agree, as I say to you, that there are certain things that people, well, they just don't like to talk about, things that are very personal to them. Now, just to name a few, I'm sure you'd agree with me that a lot of people, well, they like to avoid the topic of religion. Is there anything that's more important to somebody or more personal to them than their belief systems and ideologies? So a lot of people try to avoid conversations regarding religion because it just brings so much controversy sometimes and people don't want the conflict. In addition to that, people, well, they have a hard time talking about politics. And again, politics is a very personal choice. It's a very personal issue. So if you want to remain friends, oftentimes people, well, they try to avoid those two different types of conversations between religion and politics because it brings people into, well, oftentimes direct conflict with their ideologies and belief systems. So they do their best to avoid those types of conversations. And as I'm sitting here, and as I was preparing for today's topic, I'm reminded of another very personal issue that people really do take very, very seriously, and it really surrounds something as physical as what we eat, you know, what we put into our bodies, what culture we came out of, what kind of foods do we tend to appreciate over other types of foods, and it makes us a little bit different, and food is something that is a social event, like dinners and lunches and breakfast, so it's very important to people, this thing called food. And my question today is, does God have a standard of which we can maintain a healthy standard of living and a better quality of life? Or are we just kind of left on our own to decide for ourselves what we should and we shouldn't eat? Because I'm sure you've heard it said before that it doesn't really matter what you eat as long as it's in moderation. I'm sure you've heard that before. And a lot of us grew up understanding and being familiarized with this food pyramid that's put out. You know, they tell us we should have a certain amount of dairy, certain amount of meat, certain amount of grains. You might be surprised to know that that has nothing to do with the coming up with that chart, anything with medical advice or nutritional advice. That's actually brought about and organized by farmers. you might find that a little bit surprising that, yes, the farmers are deciding for you what you should eat. And you'll see on that list there could be some pork, could be some chicken and beef, all these different things that they say you should have. But God does have standards, believe it or not, from what we put into our body. And right in the scriptures of the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, we start to understand that our Creator, that our God maintains a healthy standard as far as what we should put into our bodies, and it goes a long way to really facilitating a quality of our life. Now, here we have the Apostle Paul going into the Scriptures in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 and roughly through chapter 7 and verse 1, and he makes a very interesting statement here regarding this thing called clean and unclean meats, because that's really what's at the topic of our conversation today, because you might be well aware of the fact that it has become a very contemporary issue, especially as we see the influx of a lot of migration and immigrants from the Middle East. We have this thing called Sharia law that's coming to our country, and there is a lot going on behind the scenes to try to change laws as far as what we can eat and what can be served in public schools and the public setting, from restaurants to grocery stores. There is a debate going on about what should be served to people. Now, before I get into the second book of Corinthians in chapter 6 here, let me just go ahead and bring your attention to some literature that we have available to you today. Today's kind of a special offering, if you will, because we don't have a booklet for you today, but what we do have is we do have two full-length sermons that you can listen to, and the sermons are titled Clean and Unclean Meats, which is going a long way in describing to you what the Bible says we should be putting into our bodies and what's good and what's healthy for us, apart from any kind of a medical advice you might hear or anything like that. God has always known what's right for us, what's good for us. After all, He did design our bodies. He does know our chemical makeup, our chemistry, so He knows what's right for us. In addition to that, there's another CD in which we'd like to offer you called The Debate Surrounding Clean and Unclean Meats, because I'll tell you what, there certainly is no short of debate when we bring up this topic, because again, food is very personal to somebody, to all of us really, and we really want to know what God wants us to do and what's healthy for us. And there's a lot of different debate between, well, basically three major groups, from the Christians to the Muslims to those of the Jewish faith. Everybody has an idea about what we should put into our bodies, but what does God say? So we'd like to make these offerings available to you today. Simply pick up the phone and dial 888-578-8791. Again, that is 888-578-8791. And of course, feel free to hit us up on the World Wide Web at cgi.org. And if you have any questions as a result of today's program, or maybe you have a general question about the Bible, just hit us up once again at info@cgi.org. And while you're there, please take note that every Saturday we do have a live webcast. Now, times may vary, so you're going to want to check those times out and validate that for yourselves before you go on there and plan your viewing of that webcast. Okay, now, as I was talking before, just a little bit before I interrupted myself, I was talking about this little chapter here, a very relevant chapter to today's topic in the second book of Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul really goes a long way to describe what God says is clean and what is unclean, and the importance of these bodies and how food relates to it. Now, the Apostle Paul in the backdrop here is obviously talking about spiritual sin in our temples. However, as we go down through this today, you'll understand that God does have health standards, and they're very good for us to follow, and there are benefits to our health for following God's laws, and especially His dietary laws, as the subject unfolds for today's program. Now, in chapter 6, in verse 16, we break into the context, and the Apostle Paul begins. He says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, he says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." But wait a minute, we have to have an interjection here. Didn't this thing, this qualifier of clean and unclean, didn't that go away when the Old Testament and the law was done away? Of course, I say that facetiously because, well, that's not the case. God has always maintained this thing called clean and unclean distinctions when He talks about what we should put into our body and the spiritual conduct that we find ourselves engaging in, whether good works or bad works. God has always maintained this thing called clean versus unclean. Do not touch what is unclean, he continues, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, notice that the Apostle Paul makes a distinction here. Let me back up just a little bit, and let's reread chapter 7 and verse 1, just most of the way through. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. So there is a great deal of importance that God places in the Scriptures on our conduct and the internal aspect of man and how clean we are as far as how we're obeying Him, how we're in line with His laws, or maybe we're not. He places a great deal of importance on this. However, notice the Apostle Paul here says, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness, even of the flesh. Now, that interjection was mine. It says of the flesh, but it does beg a question. It does cause somewhat of a pause in our minds when we contemplate this question is, what should Christians eat? You see, we've been told because of this contemporaryized issue of the influx of Muslims wanting to have pork taken out of the dietary lists from the menus. We're told that it's really a Muslim issue, but I would submit to you for your consideration that what we're talking about today is very much a Christian issue, and it has very much relevance for us in today's society because God still maintains certain expectations for us and what's good for us and what's healthy for us because He is the designer and the architect of our bodies. Now, certainly at the center of the tension, at the center of this conversation is the idea of pork. Now, I don't know if you remember, but as a child, I can remember this TV program or this movie called Charlotte's Web, where this pig Wilbur was about to be taken to market, and he was just this cute little pig with this button nose and these big nostrils and these kind of quirky ears, and he was a cute little guy, and Charlotte always made these messages in her web to try to save Wilbur. Well, the end of the story is that, of course, Charlotte died, and of course, Wilbur was saved, but how many of us fell in love with that little guy called Wilbur? I can remember as a kid just tears pouring out of my eyes because I didn't want anything to happen to Wilbur. Well, you know, Charlotte went a long way to saving Wilbur's life, but she didn't know how right she was in this movie to spare Wilbur his life from being sent to the market because the Bible tells us that pork is not good for us. And therein lies a little bit of misinformation that we have been told. And I'm sure you've heard this said before that pork, well, it's really just the other white meat. Well, let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy quickly here. And let's go ahead and see what God says about this thing called pork. The book of Deuteronomy. And let's see, let me get back to the chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 14. You can also find the sister chapter to this in Leviticus chapter 11. You can find another exhaustive listing of what God says we should and shouldn't eat. But here in verse 1 of chapter 14, God says this, "You are the children of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourselves nor shave the front of your head for the dead, for you are holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for Himself, a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." Now, I have to pause for just a moment before I go into this list of clean and unclean. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole list, but I want to bring your attention to something that really is a misunderstanding when it comes to the topic of clean and unclean meats, because here is what people are told and what is taught out in society and Christianity about pig or anything that God calls unclean. And what they will try to tell you is it was a standard that was set for Israel as far as being ceremonially clean or unclean. And that's where really the topic begins and where it ends for a lot of people in their minds. It was established for ancient Israel, and they think after ancient Israel was scattered that it has no relevance to Christians today. But is that true? Well, the pig has a special place in the listing here. We'll just go down and read. And let's just start in verse 3. He says, "You shall not eat any detestable thing." That's right. There's things that God calls detestable. He calls them abominations. He says we're not even supposed to touch their carcasses. He says they are not fit for consumption. They're not created for that. "These are the animals which you may eat: the ox, the sheep, the goat, the deer, the gazelle, the roe deer, the wild goat, the mountain goat, the antelope, and the mountain sheep. You may eat every animal with cloven hooves, having the hoof split in two parts, and that chews the cud among the animals. Nevertheless, of those that chew the cud or have cloven hooves, you shall not eat such as these: the camel, the hare, the rox hyrax, for they chew the cud, but they do not have cloven hooves. They are unclean for you. Also," notice how he has a special category for this thing called the swine. "The swine is unclean for you because it has cloven hooves, yet does not chew the cud. You shall not eat their flesh or touch their dead carcasses." Now, this also begs another question. Why does God say that we should not eat these animals? Well, sometimes I think it's just enough, at least in my mind. If God says, "I don't like it," or God says, "We shouldn't eat it," in my mind, that should be enough for me to understand that God wants me to stay away from these certain things. However, us being human, us needing answers and always asking the question, you remember your mom would tell you to do something, you'd always say, "Well, why? Why should I do that?" Well, understand that God is very pragmatic, and he understands that we'd like to have answers to some of the questions that we have as far as what he's telling us to do and what not to do. But let me ask you this. Have you ever considered a pig? Have you ever considered some of the aspects of clean and unclean, the nature of a pig? Now, let me just say this, that in and of itself, when used and utilized properly in its original form and function as God created, you know what a pig really is? A pig is the garbage disposal of nature. Now, my wife and I just purchased a farm, and we're thinking about buying pigs because they eat the garbage. They serve a purpose. But that purpose in the animal kingdom in which God created doesn't always necessarily equate to eating them. Now, there's been a lot of advertising, a lot of campaigns that have gone on in our media that wants to have us believe that, well, pigs are being fed differently, pigs are being raised differently. Now that the USDA is involved, that a lot of the diseases from the pigs have been cleaned up. You know, there's a lot of bad information out there. You know, scientifically, it is proven that the flesh of a pig, you know, the way it lives and the way it's in the mud, and, you know, just go online and review what a pig does, and I'm sure you'll never eat one again if you see how they are and how really unclean in the environment that they keep, how they are. But, you know, scientifically, it has been proven, roughly since the 1950s, 1954 to be exact, that the scientific studies have shown that the consumption of pig meat, well, it's bad for us because pig meat is almost 99% of the same genetic makeup, DNA, as human flesh. So I've heard one guy from TV, I'm sure you've heard of his name. He had this show on TV called Bizarre Foods. I think his name is Andrew Zimmer. And what he would do is he'd go on and eat all these different kind of foods, the grotesque that most people wouldn't touch. But he even said this. He said, you know, a pig is almost 100% the same chemical and DNA makeup as human beings. And you know what that brings to us? And you remember back in the 90s when we had this mad cow disease scare? Remember the cows would get all these tremors and they had to put the cows down. Do you remember why they had to do that or why the cows became sick? Well, it's because they were feeding them cows. They were feeding cows. And in the animal kingdom, anytime you have this thing called cannibalism, you have these tremor-like episodes, which oftentimes does emulate in a lot of ways this thing called Alzheimer's disease. You know, science has proven, and even the world of Christianity has to admit, that pig is bad for you. It can be linked to misdiagnosis of cirrhosis of the liver. That's right, you can get cirrhosis of the liver from eating pig. It's been linked to arthritis. It's been linked to Alzheimer's. And here we are in this world. Everybody's sick. We don't know why. We're coming up with all this medical advancement to try to thwart off some of these symptoms of what's going on. And you know what? God has had the answer the whole time. God's saying, don't do the things to your body that cause these type of episodes or cause these kind of diseases. And if people have told you that there's no scientific evidence to prove the fact that pig is unclean and bad for you, well, they haven't done their research, because that, quite frankly, is not true at all. I'm not going to accuse people of deliberately lying. I'm just saying people have not educated themselves on this topic. However, in light to this controversy of this contemporary issue of pork, we have three different groups. We have the Christians, we have those of the Jewish faith, we have those of the Muslim faith, all telling us a little bit different things of what we can and can't eat. And the irony in all this is, as you know where they all claim to get their inspiration from, to tell us what's good for us and what's not? That's right, right here out of the book of Deuteronomy chapter 14 and Leviticus chapter 11. You know, you have all these different people coming in conflict with each other because the Muslims say the pig is unclean. They don't eat pig. Well, it's in the scriptures, but yet they eat shellfish. And if we were to read down through the rest of the scriptures, you'd see where God says shellfish is not good for you. Don't eat it. So they're not right. And then you have the people of the Jewish faith who talk about kosher, you know, and they follow the dietary laws, but they also have inculcated a lot of ritual and ceremonial type of theatrics and blessings and cleansing of machines that really aren't in the Bible, but they do follow the tenets of what God says is clean and unclean. But the irony is this: you have people wanting to take clean and unclean meats out of schools, being on the Muslim side, and you have Christians who are naturally kicking back. They have this knee-jerk reaction, so they're saying, no, don't pull pork out, put more pork in. And the bottom line is, this has turned into a Muslim issue in our society, and really, it is a Christian issue. Christians, we should not be eating what God says we should not be eating. And there are some proof texts in the scriptures, in which people think might give us a little bit of trouble as far as what God declared clean and what he didn't declare clean. And let's go over one of those right now here in 1 Timothy. I believe it is 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, sometimes I tend to go off of my memory and it gets me a little bit of trouble because my memory is good, but it's extremely short. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4 here, just a couple points I'd like for you to take into consideration as we begin to wind today's program down. Let's go ahead and let's look at what Paul said to Timothy here in 1 Timothy about clean and unclean. He says in verse 1, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and through prayer." Now, on the surface, just through a casual glance and a casual reading, not a study of what the scriptures are telling us in 1 Timothy, what comes to your mind? What have you heard regarding these particular set of scriptures that we're reading right now? Well, here's what a lot of people have been told and been taught and believe, that when you read through this, that nothing is to be refused whatsoever, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, because it's sanctified by the word of prayer. But what does this mean? Does this mean that we can just eat anything we want if we just say a prayer, because God has made everything clean after the allegedly being done away with the Old Testament? But is that really logical? Does that really make sense? Well, let me ask you a question. If you were to go out into the field and you were to gather up a bunch of poison ivy and you were to put in a bunch of vegetables in there to make it look really nice and put a lot of nice salad dressing on that, and you were to consume that after saying a prayer, let me ask you, what's the chances of you actually getting poison ivy? Well, I would say they're pretty high. I would say that prayer or our choices as far as what we think is clean and unclean, I bet it wouldn't make a bit of difference as far as what we contracted as a result of consuming that which we shouldn't consume. Here's another example. And I know this is a bit of extreme, but it goes a long way to show the point, illustrate the point. How about a nice hot cup of tea made from the nice fresh waters of Chernobyl? Now, how would that go? I mean, if you pray over it and you believe that you could eat it, will that just miraculously just heal everything and you can eat it? No, you're going to get sick. Now, what's really being stated in this scripture, let's just read down here just a little bit. Forbidding to marry, a command to abstain from foods which God created to be received. Now, where do we get that notion? Where do we get that information of what God has created to be eaten? How about Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy chapter 14? And what about this issue that it is, if it's received with thanksgiving, it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer? You might find it very interesting why most of the world is busy telling you that the Old Testament is done away with. Well, these were New Testament Christians. And guess what scriptures they had to go off of and what they lived off of and what served to inspire them as they made their decisions every day, what they should do and they shouldn't do. You guessed it. It is, in fact, the Old Testament. So how is our food sanctified or set apart? It is, in fact, by the Old Testament and also validated in the New. Well, friends, I gave you just enough information to hopefully whet your appetite, as they say. So let me bring your attention once again to the offerings that we have available for you today. We have two CDs, two full-length sermon CDs, one entitled Clean and Unclean Meats, the other one called Debate Surrounding Clean and Unclean Meats. Again, reach out to us at 888-578-8791. That's 888-578-8791, or hit us up on the World Wide Web at cgi.org. If you have any questions, hit us up at info@cgi.org. And don't forget to watch that webcast every Saturday, but do remember to check the web for the times. Well, friends, we're glad you could join us today, but this is going to end our time. So until next time, you continue to put on that armor of God, and I'll put on mine, and we'll see you right here next time.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.